President Truman's press and radio conference in the Old State Building, 3 July 1952.
Please be seated. You're recovered from your trip?
Not yet, sir.
Tony said there was too much going on. I've got a couple of statements I want to read to you. They'll be mimeographed and available over at the house. It won't be here.
Not immediately.
I understand that a good many of the steel companies are ready to settle with the union on all issues. I also understand that these companies are being prevented from settling because pressure is being put on them by other steel companies. This appears to me to be a conspiracy against the public interest and not a labor dispute. In my opinion, it does not call for the use of the national emergency provisions of the Taft-Hartley Act. It calls for honest collective bargaining between the individual companies and the union. Also, those companies now in agreement with the union should consummate the agreements and begin producing steel for the welfare of this country. I sent up to Congress today a report on this country's activities in the United Nations during the last year. As I said in my letter of transmittal, I believe the United Nations is the mainstay of our work to build a peaceful and decent world. I think the United Nations is vital to our future as a free nation. I'm sure that the great majority of the people of the United States, regardless of political party, support the United Nations. Now, this is the important part. I've asked Mrs. Roosevelt to talk about the United Nations at the Democratic National Convention, and she's kindly consented to do so. I made this request because Ms. Roosevelt has rendered a great service to her country in her work in the United Nations, and because I want everyone to appreciate clearly what the United Nations means for us. Now I'll try to answer questions.
Mr. President, you talk about one conspiracy. Is there a beginning of another conspiracy against the UN?
This statement speaks for themselves, and if you read the messages I sent to the Congress, that'll answer your question, Tony.
Yes, sir, if I may pursue it. I also read the letter in the front of your report, and that talks about partisan attacks on the UN. I wonder if you could enlarge.
Well, you've read those partisan attacks that came out in your papers, and them did.
Also, I think there's a bill in Congress. Were you thinking of that related?
No. The letter speaks for itself, and it means just what it says. There's no hidden meaning in it at all.
Do you know what day she would speak?
No, I don't.
I have another.
The national chairman will set that date.
I have another to ask you also. Could you comment now on the merits of the new Fair Trade Practices Act?
I haven't seen it, Bob, so of course I can't comment on it. When it comes to me, well, then I'll make my comments.
You started up a real hornet's nest in Arkansas politics yesterday by endorsing Governor McMahon for another term. And all of his political opponents today in the governor's race claim you were paying back a political obligation because he's been faithful to you.
That's news to me. I think Governor McMahon has made a good governor. My statement stands for just what it's worth, just what I said. Right. There's no hedging on it at all.
Mr. President, I've been assigned to ask this question. I know nothing about it at all, sir.
All right.
The Federal Trade Commission has a report on an alleged oil cartel. Could you tell us when that will be made public or what disposition will be made of it?
It's a document that is not for publication at the present time. The committee, which is headed by Senator Hennings, has had access to it.
Mr. President, is the reason that it will not be made public at the time one of national security, or are there other considerations?
There are other considerations.
Mr. President, I'm asking for the Bavarian radio system in Germany. Does the Bavarian government consider the opposition of many Germans to the new German army true change of mind of these Germans regarding militarism?
I have no comment.
Mr. President, as we told you when you got aboard the plane yesterday in Newport, that a number of the people out there in Arkansas regarded you as the logical Democratic candidate this year. If it were to come about that the Democratic Convention were to give you the nomination after the fact, would you turn it down?
Now, Smitty, you're asking a hypothetical question. There are a lot of people that feel the same way the people in Arkansas do, and I'm glad they do. If everybody was happy and cracking his heels together because I got out of the way, well, I'd feel very sad about it.
The El Paso Times said an editorial recently that you would have veto power on any Democratic nominee. Would you comment?
That's news. That's news to me. That's another speculated proposition. We're looking into that situation, and I hope another one like it will never come up. In fact, if I can permit it, it won't.
Mr. President, have you signed the Puerto Rican Constitution resolution?
Hasn't come to me yet. I will sign it when it does.
Mr. President, do you regard Governor Stevenson's statement in Houston last week as one that indicated that he's available for the nomination?
Your interpretation is as good as mine. I have no comment on it.
Mr. President, I beg to differ with you, sir. You were right in 48 and we weren't.
Thank you very much.
In the light of that, sir, would you comment on Governor Stevenson's
statement? No, I have no comment.
I'd like to ask a question along the line of Smitty. Despite all you've told us about your disinclination to run again, there is a widespread feeling that you might be the 1952 nominee. I wonder if you care to nail it down? Or
I've said no as plain as I can, Eddie. I keep right on saying that I'm not a candidate.
Haven't you told us, Mr. President, that you would not accept?
I said I did not intend to try to get the nomination. I did not intend to accept it if they gave it to me.
Reports that you might like to run for the Senate from Missouri. I saw them on the ticket today.
If I had wanted to run for the Senate from Missouri, I would have filed at the proper time. Mr. President, to return to the Federal Trade Commission oil cartel report, there's been a considerable amount of speculation that its reasons for its non-disclosure, that it has not been disclosed on the grounds that it affected national security, but that there were other less justifiable reasons for holding it back. Well, it was classified in the first place by the Federal Trade Commission itself for national security reasons, but there are other reasons why it should be classified at this time.
But can you explain what they are?
No.
Can you say whether...
I meant no further on it at all.
Well, now I want to ask a non-controversial question. How you plan? How you plan to spend the Independence Day holiday?
Mrs. Truman is willing. She's coming down here. She was up to see Margaret off today. We may go up on the hill, but I don't think we will because she has to stay close to a telephone on account of her mother's condition.
May go up on the hill, sir?
Shangri-La.
Oh.
I don't think we'll do it because she has to stay where she can get in immediate touch with the family at home.
Did you write a letter to Mr. Maury Maverick of San Antonio saying that the Loyalist Democrats of Texas would be seated at the convention?
No comment.
Mr. President, would you care to comment on General Eisenhower's desire that the Republican convention be, as he put it, clean?
Now, Smitty, I'm not running the Republican convention, and I'm just as glad as I can be that I'm not a Republican.
President, do you think the seeming disunity amongst the Republicans will be an advantage to the Democratic Party?
It usually is, of course, if history tends to repeat itself in that line.
How would you characterize the scene in Chicago today, Mr. President?
I don't characterize it. It's none of my business.
Mr. President, will you
by any chance make your preference known for the Democratic candidate sometime before the convention or during the convention?
Well, I'll have a vote in the convention, and I'll express my opinion when I cast that vote.
Mr. President, that sort of leaves us in the dark again, sir. You said previously, sir, that you wouldn't go to the convention
until after the
nominee is selected.
That's correct, but I have an alternate there who will carry out my wishes.
I see, sir. So we'd best go talk to him?
Yes, you can talk to him all you want to. He's a free man.
President, is this a change in your position? I mean, have you now definitely decided that you will express a preference at the time your vote comes along?
When my vote is cast, of course there will be a preference. The Missouri delegation is not one of these that goes to the convention with the yoke on. They're free agents. We don't work under the unit rule.
Mr. President, just for purposes of covering that Missouri delegation, at what stage will you tell your alternate that's what he's to do?
After the nominations are made.
That made, Mr. President, on the first ballot?
Yes.
Mr. President, can we come back around and
yes, come right on.
You'll tell your alternate what to do on the first ballot, is that right?
If he asks my advice, which he undoubtedly will, I'll make a suggestion to him.
Mr. President, isn't Missouri, Missouri's under the, you say it's not under
not
the
not under the unit rule, it never
I
works under the unit rule. What's that? I'm not saying right now because I don't want him disturbed.
Mr. President, we met Mr. Gavin at Springfield when you...
He told me that he had been elected as an alternate to the convention. There'll be alternate for every delegate. I don't know whether he's my alternate or not.
Alternate.
Did he?
General
well,
from
then that's
Kansas
true.
City.
That's true, then.
Mr. President, will your alternate announce what his, your instructions are at the end?
No. He'll cast a vote.
But you think we better keep our eye on Mr. Gavin?
I would if I were you.
This is just a technical question, sir. At the time of the voting, will we know who your alternate is?
Well, I think so. I think you know now.
Name is Gavin.
Your name is Tom Gavin from Kansas City.
Mr. President, let me put it, you wouldn't have any objection to the world knowing just what your alternate was doing?
Not at all. Not at all. He's free agent. I haven't any strings on him, except that he happens to be a friend of mine, a political friend, Eddie.
Judging by your speech yesterday, you evidently don't think the Democrats have been in power too long.
Oh, no. No, no. I think I made that perfectly clear yesterday, Tony, that the people are best served by the party that's now in power. And I shall continue to preach that until the first Tuesday in November.
Mr. President, in your speech before the ADA, you predicted a Democratic victory in November. Have recent events either strengthened or had any effect on your...
Well, it looks more like a Democratic victory now. And the further we go, it'll look more like that all the time. And you won't be in the dark as much as you were in 1948. I think you'll come to the same conclusion I do as events unfold.
President, why do you say it looks more like that now? You can argue on that.
Well, Democrats are always doing the right thing. As I stated, I think, in the ADA speech, or it may have been the speech on the 29th of March, that the Republicans usually help us out, but we have to help ourselves a little, which we will proceed to do.
Mr. President, we got to go for more paper. Thank you.
All right.